I think I finished all the vodka, so.
Do you want to do a shot, though?
I'll do a shot with you.
To every ufologist who is seeking the truth out there, who's digging deep and doing the legwork, this one goes for you.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Oh, mommy.
Well, so what's your thought about John Lear? Because probably like you, since the 80s, since I was a kid, like I was aware of John Lear when I was young. I mean, just because like he would write, I think, articles in UFO magazine, which I read a lot, and like, you know, you'd just hear his name here and there, and like, when I was young, especially like in the 90s, I thought he was like kind of like the big whistleblower. I'm like, John Lear, dude, like, you know,
yeah,
he's
no,
hardcore.
He's
from the Lear family. He flies planes, man. This guy would not lie, you know, when I was young.
Right, you know, right. I
believed everything. But I still have like this soft spot for John Lear, mostly just his involvement in that crazy 80s like UFO scene when like, you know, William Moore and like, even like William S. Bill Cooper. Yeah, I mean, like, I think he was just a huge irresponsible jackass. But I love those kind of Wild West outlaw UFO times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that was like before my time, but I know what you mean.
Me too. But I've since, you know, gone back, you know.
Yeah, and you see those things and, like, how Bill Moore, like, told everybody about how he was working with the government, and they like boot him off the stage and shit. Yeah, that kind of stuff does. Now it's like all weird little interpersonal feuds and shit, where it's like, he called this guy an asshole.
Imagine being like, you know, you and I had a couple beers in us. We're like, hey, let's wander into this this William Moore lecture, and we see that. That would definitely probably be the highlight of my life. I think it would be the greatest thing ever.
If you were in attendance at that lecture.
It'd be so cool, and like, you know, Greg Bishop was. It'd be so cool. Greg and I go golfing every once in a while together, and it's just, we have a blast. And I feel like I'm so annoying to him because I'm just like, tell me the story of the 1989 MUFON conference again, Greg. You know, like,
oh God,
he's just such a wealth of information, and he's met everybody, so he's just the most. He is so fascinating to talk to, like. But, those are just such exciting times, and I'm like, nostalgic, even though I was not involved.
No, I'm like that, too.
You
hear about, like, the rock and roll scene of, like, the 60s in New York or some shit. It's like, I wish I had been a part of that, now it's like.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they were, like, kind of like the Led Zeppelin era.
I think you, from listening to my show and reading and shit and knowing about this, like, I think you have a pretty good understanding of, like, the history of all this, and it's like...
I do, yes.
Has there ever been, like, a shittier time to be, for ufology?
No.
You know?
No, not at all.
And
I hate
people who are
so
like...
Shitty.
I'm one of those people that's like, oh, fuck all that, ufology is dead and shit. It's like, ufology is just like, you know, it'll never die, but it's fucking lame.
It's just a snooze now.
Yeah, fuck, like, the whole idea of ufology is dead. No, folks, ufology is just fucking lame. Like, it's just lame now, man. Like, I got that real impression lately.
It's not counterculture. It's not cool. Like, the mainstream ideas are so tired and boring. Like, the disclosure stuff, Roswell, I'm like, oh, enough. And honestly, it drives me crazy because, I mean, like, you, and, you know, obviously people listen to the show, it's like, I love this stuff, and I love these topics, and I do think there are interesting ways to talk about them and look into them and discuss them, but it's really hard. It's such a small group of people who, you know, like, are really want to think about it in a different way and challenge themselves. Even, like, you know, it's like, I feel like, for me, UFOs and all this stuff is not really, like, it's not scientific. I'm not a scientist, you know, I mean, I'm not, like, I don't understand things on a quantum level when people just throw in quantum. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But I think on a philosophical and, you know, sociological level, it will always be interesting to me.
Right.
You know, like, but what's happening out in the mainstream, and, like, I also feel like Facebook has been terrible for ufology. Like, I feel like the forums and, like, the original, like, UFO updates and things like that, there was, like, really good thought-out discussions, and people would, like, take the time to, like, write a response that was, like, really well-formed, and even if it was, like, kind of, like, crazy, but it was, like, written well, and, like, they put some thought into it. Now it's just people firing off, like,
you're wrong, I'm right, you know, and it's just it's so gross. It's really, it's bled into the kind of like almost like conspiracy world that I don't like either, you know, where it's like such negativity and it's so divisive, you know, like, and I don't know, UFOs, like there's, I feel like I used to love going to those conferences and stuff, and like now I can't imagine to like spending $200 to go into like one of those mega conferences. They're so expensive.
You should work the press pass. You're a celebrity. I'm not even a celebrity, but I'm press. So I'm just like, I need a press pass for that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Well, dude, in a way, I think too, like, this came up with Mark O'Connell. It's like, part of this is the UFO's fault, dude. Like, they're, you know, they're just, With the chance to sort of look back on it, having read his book and everything, it was like, to me, it was like, ah, shit, you know, like, they really are gone. Like, I get why people are like, you hear assholes who are like, everybody has a cell phone, you're getting UFO videos. Meanwhile, there's like a ton of UFO videos, but it's like, we have more people probably looking at it, you know. I'd like to actually, I'm going to back up on that, because I would like to know if there actually are more people looking at the UFO thing than there were like when MUFON and all those groups were at their height. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, I'm looking at this and saying, it's not like, oh, things are slow this year. It's like, things are fucking slow like the last two decades, man. Like, there aren't really like super crazy cases.
You know, and like, I think about that all the time, right? Because one thing, a lot, you know, some of my friends, like, you know, chide me about it. It's like, you know, everyone's got a cell phone. How come they're not seeing UFOs? So I'm like, man, I don't know. And then I try to say, like, maybe they're elusive and they've learned that we have technology and they go invisible. I don't know. You know, like, I'm not justifying people anymore. But, like, I do wonder if the insane attack, you know, like how everyone's got a cell phone now, and there's social media, there's too much information out there. And I wonder if things like, you know, if you read a headline in like one of those, you know, UFO blogs, whatever, it's like, you know, 10-foot-tall metallic alien, you know, seen in Brazil. I always go, oh, that's stupid. But if it was back in the 50s, I was like, ooh, that's an interesting case, like the Flatwood Monster or something like that. I think there's just so much bullshit out there now that you almost can't take anything seriously. I wonder if that's the case, if the UFOs or whatever are here just as much as they ever have been, or even more, but there's so much more noise.
That's possible.
You know, and maybe I'm wrong, because like, yeah, I pine for the old saucer days. You know, if I had my choice to see any kind of a craft, I would love to see an old fashioned 50s flying saucer. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be the best kind to see.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I mean, I do get what you say. It's like you just don't hear nuts and bolts like reports anymore. You know,
right.
It feels
there's
like
no
we,
more
like,
iconic cases. Maybe it takes time.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I mean, we're not seeing like, you know, aside from Stephenville at the beginning of like the 2006 or something like that.
Yeah, and
no
then there
longer.
Was the Chicago O'Hare, which was
around the same time.
2008. And actually, I was working in Chicago this summer, and I asked so many people about that. And, like, no.
Oh, really?
They're like, why, I think I heard about that, but I don't know. But I always tell myself, if I fly United and I'm in the airport, I'm going to go up to the United desk and say, tell me about what happened. You know, do you hear anything? You know, but I found that case to be very fascinating. That really got me excited.
Why is that?
That was probably one. Well, there was like look, I can't tell you for sure, but it seemed from what I read and what was out there, there was a lot of witnesses and there was pilots who took pictures.
Oh,
and
really?
And the thing, you know, their cameras were confiscated. You know, I don't know if that's true, but that's what people said. And then like, supposedly Dan Aykroyd paid like $2 million for like a real picture of it, and he was going to release it. And I guess still to this day, it was the most clicked on story in the Chicago Tribune history.
Wow, really?
So it was like a big deal for like a hot minute, and I was super excited about it. But then I think like Jeff Ritzman was like doing some analysis on some photo, but like, yeah, nothing really ever came out with that. But man, I was so fired up. But like, yeah, like you said, like, when's the last time you were fired up about a UFO case? Probably Stephenville or O'Hare, I guess.
Yeah. It's
we're due, man. We're due.
We are definitely do. It's just weird. It's like, where they, although like Mark McConnell said, it's like maybe they realize the same thing we do, where it's like, oh, they all have cameras now, so we have to be more careful,
yeah,
like when we show up. We can't just, you know,
yeah,
land and the guy come out in a little metal suit.
Yeah, I realized I just said that like 3 minutes ago, and I'm lifting that straight up from him because I listened to your show 2 days ago.
Oh, nice, yeah.
But I thought that was such a clever little like comeback answer. It's like, well, you know, they have technology too, and they, you know, yes, they went invisible or whatever. I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes sense in a way. It's like, well, we have all these cameras now. We're tricking them. It's like, dude, they fly here from another planet. You think they don't know we have a shitload of cameras now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. But it is sad because, like, I totally agree. I wish the UFO scene wasn't so lame anymore. Because, you know, if you're willing to dig around, like, you know, I mean, I found your show. I wasn't, like, even a big podcast guy. But I remember I was just kind of like, man, you know, I kind of, like, took time away from the subject because I was, like, bored. And, like, the radio programs that were out there really weren't doing it for me anymore. And so somehow I was like, oh, maybe I'll download a podcast app. And I found like your show and Greg Bishop's show, Radio Mysterioso, like right away. And I was like, I listened to like one episode each. And I was like, oh my God, I found my people.
Nice.
There is a place for me. You know, like, because I'm like, they're talking about it exactly how I want to hear people talk about it. And like, not saying it's like, you know, being done just for me, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
You guys have very specific takes on it and specific things that you're interested in, and that happens to line up with what I'm interested in this field. So, yeah, I'm grateful for you guys to be doing these shows. In L.A. traffic, man, it's brutal, and it can nail you. But I pleasure delay a Banal of America episode where I know I'm going to be in traffic.
Nice, nice. Well,
yeah,
I appreciate it, man. Like I said,
yeah, dude,
it's crazy that you've been listening all these years, and
yeah.
It's like really, it's humbling in a way, in a big way,
cool.
Honestly, dude. Like, I don't know what
to,
you know. And
yeah.
I feel like, and I hope I don't do this to you, but I also get the sense, unrelated to me, that you feel like weirdly beholden that you should be doing something to, you're always like, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do these shows.
Yeah.
Dude, don't worry about it. It'll happen when it happens, man. You just do you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want you to know, like, because sometimes I'll be like, here's a show for you, Berg. It's like me and a monkey, and we go on the latest UFO cases, and he wears a little suit. You know,
yeah,
you'll do the voice, and it's like,
that already sounds amazing to me.
But I don't want you to ever be like, Benal, stop sending me, you know.
Oh, dude,
I don't expect you to ever fucking do anything, man, except just fucking keep rocking.
And that's the funny reality about this business is, like, you know, I've gotten a little further along. I always find, I have, like, friends who are further along than me, but we always find out it's so hard to help each other. Like, I think especially when you're like an actor or a writer, it's like, you know, maybe if you're a producer, you get people jobs and like help open the doors. But like, dude, it is just, no one cares. You know, like an actor or writer just has no influence in this town. It's really funny.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well,
and I guess it does.
Just sound like a total asshole. We all know, folks, I'm going to be the one coming to Steve with like an idea and be like, all right, I'm going to bring you aboard my project, Steve. Discovery Channel just bought a 12 episode run of Banal and a Monkey. And I'm gonna need someone to fucking make this TV show, dude. I don't know anything about
Tim,
it.
Tim and the Monkey. I already see it now. It's like, it sounds amazing. It sounds like almost like a Japanese like 70s show.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, all right, here
I'm
we
sold.
Go. We're at Flatwoods, Bubbles. Let's get out and see where the UFO landed.
You know, just because I am talking to you about these wonderful subjects, I wanted to mention, have you been, speaking of Skinwalker Ranch that we were talking about, have you been hearing any of the new rumblings, like what George Knapp is doing?
From Skinwalker Ranch?
There's this dude named, like, Jeremy, he's got, like, four names in there.
Oh, Corbin, whatever, he's like a filmmaker?
Yeah, Jeremy Corbell, yeah. And anyways, him and George Knapp are making that Skinwalker documentary.
Oh, nice.
And apparently, and I guess George Knapp gave him all his videotapes and, like, files and all that stuff. And
oh, wow.
That's like maybe the one thing I'm really excited about right now, because I love the Skinwalker Ranch story. I think it's like such high strangeness. I mean, I've read his book like twice. Any like podcast about it, I probably listened to 20 times. I think it's so it's so wonderful and visual. I just love it.
Yeah, it's a well-written book, and the story is amazing. Yeah, it's interesting.
It is so amazing. And I'm really – I feel like in the last year especially, I've been super interested in kind of like those hotspot areas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's one like in Colorado Springs that's like some weird ranch.
Oh, yeah, there's one here
like,
in Mass, yeah, but it's kind of dormant.
Is it really?
Yeah, the Bridgewater Triangle. It's like a
– Oh, yeah.
You know, it's more like – I feel like it's kind of like – it's like I said, it's dormant. I haven't heard any like crazy shit in years, so.
Right.
But
that was kind of a fun documentary, the Bridgewater Triangle documentary.
Yeah.
I had fun with it.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. But –
What are we
yeah,
talking
about? Yeah, those hot – I was just going off about like hot spot areas, if you will.
Yeah, they're cool.
I want to go to one, and I want to – drink beers and, like, you know, eat sandwiches and just wait for something to come to me.
You know what I would like to do is, like, you heard Adam Davies on the show. I really envy him. I think
oh.
I would, like...
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I would, like, get a job as a haunted house, like, tour guide and just try and do, like a Jane Goodall fucking thing where I would
oh,
just, like, I spent
dude.
2 years as a guide at this haunted house... And here's the, you know, here's an in-depth journal of all the weird shit that happened.
And here's my story.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so happy you said Am Davies because I have to tell you, I think that show, I love all the ones you've had with him. But the one you had like 2 times ago where he was talking about the little Pudgewuckies like coming out of...
oh, the Portal episode. Yeah, famous Portal episode.
Dude,
yeah.
Can we please talk about the Portal episode for a second?
I've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it, but and I'm not saying this as a dick.
Yeah.
I've talked about it a million times because people love it.
I know.
People find it. No,
I know
I'm not
have.
Saying I don't want to talk about it. I'm just saying that
yeah.
that's – it's a bizarre – Like, it's resonated with me. And I've talked about it. I've introduced the topic. I talked to Linda Godfrey last
yeah.
weekend at the International Cryptozoology Conference, and I was like, have you heard about this thing that happened to Adam Davies? And I did this today. So, you know, yeah. It's
food.
Now,
can
you've been
you...
listening to the show forever. I was explaining
yes.
this to her. I was like, because what I like about the show, in a way, in all of America, because I made it, is it's like, it's like... when it's all said and done, folks, when it's all fucking finished, you can go. You're going to be able to go back someday in 10 or 20 years, and it's going to be like an amazing fucking historical document. Because
exactly.
some of these people, like Adam Davies, will have been on year after year after year. It's like 7-Up. It's like a paranormal
yep.
version of 7-Up, where you can follow this guy's evolution. And
yep.
And to me, I just, having interviewed him for years and years and years, like, I can't imagine that he would fucking make this story up. There's just no, like,
yep.
I just don't believe there's any way he would make that story up. You know what I mean?
See, I agree with you because that dude, I will say this, of, like, taking all the guests, he would fall in the 5% of the most grounded people.
Right.
To me. You know what I mean? Like, he never hardly, I mean, there was, like, no supernatural bend to his... You know, like,
no, he was just going to, like,
inter-
crazy countries
was,
and trying to get proof about these weird animals.
Totally, right? So, for him to put his reputation and, like, livelihood, I guess, because this is what he does for a living, on the line to tell this crazy, high, strange, like, interdimensional portal story, I was, that had my attention, you know what I mean? And
right.
I am so fascinated by. Have you been able to, like, off the record, like, talk to him more about that? Because, like, you guys are
oh,
kind
yeah,
of buds,
sure.
right?
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to him a lot. Well, not a lot. He doesn't really have much to say about it. I mean, I'm trying. I can't think of anything. Honestly, I'm not being an asshole. It's like I can't think
uh-huh.
of many things that I asked him off the record that I couldn't repeat on the show. Because anything I asked
right.
him, anything I. The only questions I had for him that were off the record were questions that I could get sued for asking on the show. I was worried. So,
right.
like, I can't
yeah,
even...
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Where it was like...
No,
I
totally understand.
Yeah. I was like, here are some other ways this could have happened, and I don't want to get sued, so people can, you know, Voynich manuscript yourselves and figure out what I'm talking about. You know, but...
Let me ask...
But those questions, the answers to those questions, because people, I'm sure, are like, hey, fuck you, Benal. the answers to those questions left me confident that he that there's no shenanigans as far as he knows, as far as like how he had this experience.
And there was another witness, that other guy he was with. I can't remember his
right.
name. You had him.
John,
you had him on
John
your show
Carlson.
As well. And then kind of that wild man like Sasquatch, like he feeds them or whatever, like that weirdo dude. You know what I'm talking about? He was the one who like took him out there.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
The doctor. He's a doctor something. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
he's a cohabitator allegedly.
Yeah, he seems a little bit of a wackadoo to me, but
he's a cohabitator with Bigfoot.
And, well, and he talked a bunch of shit on Adam Davies for some reason after that. I don't know why, but
well, he was doing it before. That's why Adam came on the show to tell the story, because he told the story
right.
without Adam saying. Adam was like, "Let's not talk about what happened with the portal," and the guy was like, "Yeah, sure." And then like. I guess like 6 or 9 months later, the guy was like, "Adam Davies came here and a fucking portal opened." Adam,
that
yeah.
is so funny.
And then Adam called me and was like, "Hey, yeah, you want to do a show about how I saw a portal?" And I was like, "What
oh.
the fuck?" And he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to talk about it until we do the show, though, so you can, like, so we don't ruin the whole story."
Oh, my God. So
yeah.
what is he, I mean, like, I have one question. Do you know where that is?
The portal?
Like, did he tell you the location of this place?
Not
because
like,
if so, I will
didn't
go.
Ask, but I can ask. I can find out.
If you can give me the location, I will promise I'll go there in the next year.
Well, if I get the location and you're going to go, I'm going with you.
Why would we all not go there? I have no idea. That makes no sense to me. If you knew the place where there was a portal, I mean, like, I'm dropping everything I'm going to do. I'm going to take one less vacation a year, and I'm going to go camping at a portal site, maybe do a little fly fishing. Who knows?
Well, what would all right? But let's take this to the next step, though. Okay.
Okay.
So you're there,
talk to me.
And the portal opens. First of all, because this is my problem in a sense with Adam and John's story. I'm just the pragmatist in me is like, just you didn't take a fucking picture.
I mean, come on, dude. That's what really is troubling because. There is no – dude, I have, like, grabbed my phone when I've seen, like, a weird satellite in the sky.
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's finally. You know, like – so, you know, like, I don't – that's what I have a hard time reconciling when
right.
it comes down to it. I mean, I don't know Adam Davies personally. I know
– no, believe me. I
from your show. So I was – that guy sounds very grounded and kind of, like, scientific and, like,
yeah,
you know, almost like
can,
almost academic, you know, and so for him to say this stuff, I listen. You know, it's not like Corey Good saying there's a portal. I'm like, whatever.
Right, right. Adam Davies has a background of like,
right.
Makes sense. But to his defense, I guess, and the idea of like, why didn't you take a picture? It's like maybe the scene, maybe the whole situation was so like fantastic that the idea of like, I need to make sure people believe that this happened never crosses your like mind. I mean, that's the only reason to fucking take a picture, in a sense, you know? It's
you know,
like,
and that's actually something I think about a lot because I'm you know, like, you know, I feel like so many people have these just crazy experiences and there's so little photographic proof that I think maybe it's so I wonder if it's just, like, so shocking to our perception that, like, the thought of documentary is not, like, even, like, on the radar.
Right.
And that might be the thing. Like, look, and like I always say, like, I would definitely take a picture, man. I'd have cameras up there, blah, blah, blah. And like, and maybe actually that would make the phenomenon not appear, you know, a la Skinwalker Ranch. You know, you try to document the stuff and then it goes away.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, that's the old adage with the whole, you know, paranormal world. It's like when you try to record it, when you try to capture it, it's not going to play ball. So maybe, you know, maybe had he grabbed it, I don't know. It's, you know, like I'm trying to hypothesize on something I, you know, probably shouldn't be, but just the Adam Davies story for me is probably the coolest story I've heard in years.
Yeah.
In years.
I would agree just based on and it's funny. It's like, it's like the story only holds weight if you really got to listen to like all these years of shows.
Right.
It's like, you
right.
know, by the time you get to the portal, you're like,
dude,
it's like lost. It's like,
yeah.
What the fuck happened
yep.
to Adam Davies, dude? I thought he was going
yeah.
for a monkey print, you know, in Sumatra.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is very weird. And I love the how he's like a tour guide at the something got on this. The ghost, I would do like a Diane Fossey, or whatever thing where it's like,
yeah,
stay. I hope weird shit happens to him.
But yeah,
oh,
man,
that's
I
when
mean,
he got off on the thing. But so would you go? So we're there. We see the portal. What would you go?
Yes.
What would you do? Go in? Go towards it? Would you go through it? Put your hand
oh.
in it?
Like, okay, like, I have this picture in my mind because it's, the way he described it, it's so, like, detailed to me. So, like, they were, like, you know, like, on a campsite, like, looking in the forest, seeing a blue portal and, like, these creatures coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just instinctually, if I see little, like, unknown creatures with, like, glowing eyes, I mean, like, look, I'm not a tough guy. I would be terrified.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
me too, yeah.
I mean, so scared, dude. So scared. So, I mean, like, no, I'm probably not going to run towards a portal, but to witness it, just to know that, to actually see with my own eyes and experience something like that with all my senses would be something. I mean, you couldn't top that in a life. I mean, oh, my God, that'd be amazing. So I feel like, you know, it's like, look, if someone's, you know, somehow invited me to Skinwalker Ranch, said, hey, would you like to come out to the ranch for a week? I would drop everything
oh,
I was doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, are you kidding me?
You
so if
to,
I
yeah.
got a look, if I got a location of a potential portal area, like I said, I'm very into hotspot things. I've never really been to like a true, like, you know, Skinwalker Ranch or like, you know, portal area or whatever. But I would
well, no,
love
you
said, that.
Have you ever had anything like paranormal happen to you?
Dude, nothing. Like nothing. And that's the sad thing. It's like not even like, really like nothing. Not even like a like I heard my name whispered or like heard voices or heard like creak. Nothing, man. Like zero. And I feel like I'm one of the only people I've ever met who has had nothing.
Dude, I've barely had anything happen to me. So
doesn't that suck?
Yeah, it's awful.
It
I mean,
sucks,
I've never seen like
man.
A UFO or had anything really like.
No. I've never had a book fly off the shelf or, like, you know, I mean, I've never had a night, you know, even like a night terror or, like, you know, or like sleep paralysis or anything like that. I've never had anything. And I have friends who actually have, like, confided in me, like, hey, man, don't say this, but I had this crazy experience when I was young. And I've heard some crazy stories because people will volunteer that information to me because they know I'm into it. And
yeah.
I love it. I'm just so jealous.
I'm probably opening myself up to some horrific nightscape, but the thing that always I always was envious of is like anyone who sort of like had a connection to some kind of intelligence, not necessarily,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it was like,
yep,
not necessarily like, oh, something, you know, something weird happened where it was like, there was something there. There was,
yep.
You know, anytime it's something like that, I'm like, oh, you fucker.
I'm like, look, I have a Ouija board in my office. I'm sitting there right now. Like, I mean, I've tried everything. You know, I like what Jeff Ritzman has to say. I like the way he talks about his experiences because he doesn't claim like he knows what's happening. He's like, I'm in the dark with this stuff.
Yeah.
But he has kind of like been talking about this. He says that if you go out to somewhere rural and keep on going there by yourself at the same time, night after night after night, you are guaranteed to experience something. And it won't be what you think it will be.
Right.
And like I've talked to Greg, and Greg knows people who've tried it and they've had success and they stop it right away because it's very like terrifying and uncomfortable.
Where is this? Someplace and where?
No, you go anywhere. So if you were like you're in like a, you know, outside of Boston, I can't remember exactly where you live, but you
yeah.
were to drive out to a cornfield 20 miles away from your house, like for a week straight every night, like at midnight, and hang out there for like an hour, eventually they say you would see something or experience something.
That makes
or
perfect
Jeff
sense.
And to me, I'm kind of like, I want to try that. Unfortunately, Los Angeles, I could drive for, it would take me like 3 hours to drive somewhere rural, but man, it seems like, wow, I would be willing to try that.
And who else said
that? Greg did not say it. That's Jeff Ritzman, who said that, I believe, on Greg's show.
Wow, interesting.
And, or maybe it was on,
that's creepy.
It's really creepy. And because his experience is,
that's like one of those, like, Bloody Mary
disturbing.
In the mirror thing.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I love all that shit, you know, like, but yeah, I mean, that's because like his experiences are very, very disturbing and very scary to me, but very exciting.
So I don't know. Like it's fun. He's like one of those guys. I mean, like there's a lot of people who have had experiences, but there's not a lot of people who I feel like are eloquent in explaining them in a grounded, you know, way that I can like, you know, really take them seriously. But he's one of them. You know, I really, I think.
Oh, Jeff Rissman, yeah. He's one of those people that if we're trying to like figure this out, he's, I think, one of the, like the few people that I think is like operating on a level close to what the intelligence is.
Yep, I agree. I think he's a very sharp dude.
He's super analytical. You can't bullshit him. And, you know, he's just kind of like, here's the facts, here's what's going on, you know. He's very close to the Borg-like level of the aliens. It's like, it's like a Boba Fett style hunt for Jeff.
Yeah, and I find him to be a kind of an important figure in this field. That, but I feel like, you know, which, you know, the mainstream ufology, like, you know, they don't want to deal with Jeff Rissman, man, because, you know, he's gonna, you know, like, he's too smart for him, you know, like he's gonna call them out, and I don't know, but the whole topic's so damn interesting, buddy.
Are you gonna wrap it up now? Can you go a little over the hour, or?
No, that was not me wrapping it up. I'm good for as long as you want to talk.
Oh, all right, nice. Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that in a sense about you know, being an important figure in ufology, because it's kind of like worrisome sometimes when you think about it, because even you, Steve, I know you're a consumer, you're a supporter, you produce some shit, you produce the Roswell stuff. You know, so it's like it's up to us to keep these people. That's the fucked up part. This is our community, for better or for worse, and it's like, especially ufology, it's like a down and out, man. It's like, I'm obsessed with sort of like the people of this field and the demographics and everything, and talking to up in Canada with Paul Kimball and Micah Hanks and Ryan Sprague and Greg Bishop.
Right.
We were talking about, like, I was saying to them, it was like, who are the people that are under 20 that are in their 20s doing this? These UFO stuff.
I know.
Like, nobody. I couldn't think of anybody. And folks, if you can, let me know. But I couldn't think of anybody that, like, I know of that's in their 20s. Most people are in their, like, the youngest person I know, I think, is Joshua Cushion. I think he's like in his, like, between 30 and 35. So it's like,
right.
That.
And so, I mean, like, and that's like, you know, I'm.
We can go after the show ends. We can go after the lady comes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, our kind of age group, like you and me, like it's like we're the youngest.
Right,
like,
right.
People interested in this topic, and that is kind of worrisome to me because I feel old, man. You know, I don't feel like a young UFO buck, but I guess we are, you know, like in terms of like the people interested in this. And like, you know, like, look, we're starting to lose some of the greats. Jim Mars, who, you know, I know you were close to them, and I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, that was.
Oh, yeah, that's just.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was too bad.
That sucks.
Man. It was like, it was just stunning.
Yeah.
It was ground shaking for me in a sense, because I was really got very introspective about like how the fuck, you know, what kind of world is this, man? Yeah,
exactly. I know, man. I know. But you know what, though? It's like, that guy put a lot, you know, he seems like he lived a pretty great life. So I don't think he would have any regrets.
Oh, no. I saw a video that they did that they shot his ashes out of a cannon.
That's badass.
Yeah.
That's
they
great.
Shot his ashes out of a cannon. I got to see if I can get that. They can put that on YouTube or something so I can.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but
nice.
No, yeah, it's weird. Like, we're the old, you know, or we're the, you know what it is? It's kind of funny, and I don't want to get politics into this in a sense, but also, we're about the same age. You're like, you must be like in your young 40s.
I'm 40.
All right. So, yeah, so like 2 years older than me. It's just funny in a way that, like, you always like think you're like growing up, but it's like, doesn't the president always stay the same like age? It's like, oh, they're always like 70. It's like the president's like never my. Even Obama was just a little bit older than me. It's like,
yeah,
that's when I know I'm old, if I'm the same age as the president.
Yeah, well, I knew I was old when you, like, watch a college football game, and, like, you're like, those are children. And, then, you know, like, I remember, like, athletes used to look so old and, like, mature to me, and I'm like, oh, they're kids. Uh-oh. I'm old. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, yeah, or you're watching it, and they're like, can you really still do this at 40? That's the real question. Yeah. And it's like, what?
I know. If you're 34 and you're a tennis player, you're an old man. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Well, so I guess we're the youth of ufology, man. It's a big burden, but I think we're gonna have to handle it.
I think so. Yeah. Well, I talked about this last week. That was the cool part about. I'm telling you, you should look into the crypto part because I think it's really exciting. It's on the
crypto
terrestrials and stuff.
Oh,
cryptozoology.
Stuff?
I mean, cryptozoology.
Oh. I love crypto terrestrials. I can talk about that book all night.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, no, I think I've always had an affinity for Bigfoot, and I went to this thing, and it was,
yeah,
like a whole different – it really was like a whole different world. It was amazing to see, like, the you really could feel the fucking difference between the two days. It was really – as someone who, like, looks at this stuff, I was like, holy shit, this is like the ultimate ethnography project. It was like the people in Portland at the crypto thing were like super, like you wouldn't believe the hipsters, man. Like tons
wow.
of hipsters. Yeah.
That's awesome. Whatever you think of,
I'm going to back on that a little bit. There was like, you know, a handful of hipsters, but also people of the hipster age that have higher tolerance for hipsters.
Right, sure.
You know
Look,
what I'm
I
saying?
Mean,
like, our age, we're like, look, fucking kid. But like, if you're like 20 and you meet a hipster, you're like, that's Randy. He's into xylophones. That's cool.
Yeah. Look, man. I mean, when you look at it, I'm into weird subjects. I listen to like underground punk. I go to farmers markets. I guess I'm a hipster. You know, like
that's true. Yeah, we all are.
You know, like. Everyone
we all are hipsters, like in our own
but,
stupid way.
But I mean, yeah. Look, I like craft beer. I mean, I'm ticking all the boxes.
Oh,
originally.
Me too. I love craft beer. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but yeah,
the
vibe is really just amazingly cool. Where it's like these are young people who love
that's
this
Lauren
shit.
Coleman's jam, right?
Yeah.
I like Lauren Coleman. Man, he seems like a cool dude.
You got to come out to New England, and I'll take you up to the museum. We'll have fun.
Man, I would love that. I would love that. I dream of going on like a getting an RV and like for a summer, like driving around to like, you know,
dude, I
paranormal
that.
Paranormal.
We need to make a movie of that. We'll just like get some money to pay for the summer so we can take the time off and do it for 3 weeks.
So
we'll just drive across country.
Fun, man. It'd be so fun. Camp out outside of, you know, Skinwalker Ranch. Come on, it'd be a blast.
I'm
telling you, dude, you gotta get the coordinates or whatever
for the
portal? Adam Davies. I'm serious.
That could be the climax of the movie. We'll drive the RV out to the portal.
Buddy, I'm telling you, if you can give me, honestly, we got it. How can you live with yourself if you knew that you could experience a portal and you didn't?
All right,
I'll
ask the people now. We'll do one of these things. We'll say, email and let us know. I'll try and get the coordinates. Will you fund us to film the movie?
Yeah,
will you give us $10,000 to film this movie so we can, you know, it won't cost.
Dude,
I don't even know if it'll cost that. How much would it cost us? You're the movie guy.
Here's one thing. If you are going
we'll
to go,
get the coordinates to the portal.
Do a mini doc on the portal because I don't think you need a 2-hour documentary. I think you just need you cut together the highlights. And
unless
you make
we
like,
raped
kind of
by
like a,
Ewoks or something.
Well, that would be. I'll tell you what, if we could get proof of
that's
being raped by Ewoks,
we
would be millionaires.
Yeah,
instantly.
Yeah.
So,
I would easily be like, yeah, I got raped by an Ewok.
That's the thing. Like, let's say, even just as a business perspective, if you and I can prove that there's a portal in the Pacific Northwest, then we're never working again. We are rich beyond our wildest dreams.
We're the portal guys.
I mean, like,
yeah.
We're the portal guys, dude. We, like, you know, we buy the land and we sell portal trips.
Yeah.
But look, you go out there and you have one camera guy, one sound guy, and you and I are moving around lights. I mean, you don't need any money to do something like that. That's the good thing about technology nowadays. It's like, you can get a good 7D camera. They shoot TV shows and those things. So, I mean,
nice.
Boom, dude. You get the coordinates. We are going to Portal Town.
Now, we're all about truth and transparency on the show. So how
– okay.
I watched a clip of you and your friend playing video games and drinking. And I was like, because you know I like to drink. So
Wait, what are you referring to?
On YouTube.
On YouTube? Oh.
You play like some video
game. The drug history commercial.
Yeah,
we did an ad for Assassin's Creed. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. I was like, wait, what? okay, yeah, I know.
Right.
Now.
But
yeah.
It extends to the whole show, I guess, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I was watching it, and I like to drink, as you know, so I was watching it, and I was like,
yeah,
is he really? I've never really known like how drunk the people really are, and if they really are drinking at all. So what's the? Let's blow the lid off this. You want to know
the absolute truth.
As much as you can tell me.
I can tell you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's all completely real.
Really?
And that is the truth. So much, in fact, that they have, just for insurance purposes, they have an EMT on set, like, to breathalyze you and make sure you don't, like, you know, drink yourself to death or, like, you know, get alcohol poisoning. They start breathalyzing you, and then they'll breathalyze you and be like, all right, he's at a 1.0. Yeah, we can start shooting now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like, dude, every single person on that show is legit drunk.
Wow.
And I mean, like, I like to drink. I don't drink often, but like when I can handle my liquor pretty well, and I'm hammered in every single drunk history thing I've done, legit. And my combination is I drink usually a 6-pack of IPAs and I take a good dent out of a bottle of bourbon.
All right. Yeah.
And that's my story. That's my storytelling juice, but it is 100% for real. For real. It really
wow.
is. It's
all
everyone
right.
is hammered. And it's fun because, like, you know, Derek's a friend, and so he drinks with everybody. So, you know, he's really drinking too. So it's definitely legit for sure.
All right. I kind of thought that because I was watching the clip there, and at one point, like, you guys are playing, and you're just like, zip line. And I was like,
yeah.
That's exactly, that guy's definitely drunk.
Like, yeah.
He's
and, like,
definitely
drunk
right there because that was the only reaction of a drunk guy.
Yeah, and we've drank together, so I mean that's you know I'm a very happy jolly drunk, but it's very much real, man. And plus, you know, like honestly, like actors aren't comedians and actors. It's so hard to play drunk believable.
That's true.
That there's
yeah,
no
that's
way like 100 people, especially like a lot of the people are stand comedians who are not like trained actors. There are a lot of really great actors who do it too, but. Yeah, no, we're just not that talented. Like, I wish I could play drunk that well, but it's so hard.
Yeah, you guys have all Emmys and shit from the shit. You'd be like, holy
yeah.
shit, those guys weren't
yeah,
drunk that
I know.
Whole show,
man. Yeah, if I was playing drunk, man, I'd be you know doing Broadway right now.
Now, I don't think we ever told this story because we've never done a show before. But how about should we shame Steve Ray for bringing us to that weird club? That
dude, that was. It was the weirdest club. We were like, first off, it was late in the night, and we
yeah.
had no business being in any club of any sort. And we go to some weird, I mean, like, he knew downtown LA better than me, you know, like, and we ended up at some, but Steve Ray, I had a fun time.
Yes.
He bought us a bunch of Tecates. It was great.
Yeah, it was a very weird experience.
I like that guy, man.
And then we
like
ended up debating healthcare on the side of the on the sidewalk in LA for
yeah.
like 45 minutes.
Passionately. Too.
Yeah.
I think you and I fell along the same lines.
Yeah, we did. Steve's
yeah.
a little more egalitarian.
He is, but not in like a crazy way. Like he may actually his arguments. I'm like, yeah, that's valid. I get you. You know, but he's a very sharp guy.
Yeah, he reminds me of someone who was, like, given a leg up on life through sheer genetics and just being – he was born with an angel on his shoulder. And he's just like, I expect
yeah.
everyone to pull themselves up to my level.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Steve, not
yeah,
everyone.
I could get into that, but it would be a whole political rabbit hole I'm sure you don't want to go.
Yeah.
I think half your audience may hate me, so I don't want that.
That's true, yeah. After we did the Trump episode, I'm surprised that they're still listening, but it's all good, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, Jesus Lord. The world, but that is, did you see Jim Carrey's latest interview?
No, I heard about it, though, that he was like, this is so
bullshit. You really need to watch it. Because I've been having this debate with my friends like the last 2 days, and they're like, oh, dude, Jim Carrey is clearly crazy. And I'm like, or is he just so smart and in touch with something? I mean, like, I don't know. Because he's definitely, like, he went on, so it was like Fashion Week in New York, which is the most, like, you know, vapid,
decadent.
Kind of like
yeah.
Decadent bullshit. It's not what we need to be, like, you know, focusing our attention on right now. It's Fashion Week with all the shit going on in the world. So
right.
I think he kind of came on and he's like, you know, this is all a joke. He's like, I found the stupidest thing in the world to come to, and I came to this. And then he started saying, like, you're not real. You're not a real person. You're just tetrahedrons floating around the world. He's like, none of this is real.
Oh, wow.
It was, you really have to watch it. I've like watched it like six times. I find it so compelling because I feel like, I don't think he's actually bullshitting. I think this is what he believes. And I'm not saying it's like – and I don't necessarily think he's crazy. So a lot of my friends are like, oh, dude, Jim Carrey has lost his shit finally. I'm like,
No.
I don't know.
As ridiculous as it sounds, folks, it's like he like woke up to how fucked up. Like, there's layers to this world and shit, you know.
Yep.
This,
yeah.
I'm stunned that it would take him. So you would figure someone who's like super rich and famous would, but it's like, nah, this is like, you know, there's layers to this world, man.
You know, in a weird way, like a guy like that may have the most, like, you know, vivid exposure to the bullshit. Because here's a guy who came from nothing. He was homeless.
Right.
Like, he grew up, like, he was homeless for part of his life. Like, dirt poor. Just a total grinder. Moved to, like, L.A. and somehow blew up. And, like, you know, was getting paid $20 million, you know, a movie for a while. And so that was, like, his dream. He rose to the top, and they saw it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Money, all this stuff.
Right. Because after he stopped making those, like, goofy family comedy movies, he kind of went off the... into a serious realm. I think it's like when he made Fuck You Money, as they call it.
Yeah, well, like, once he did Man on the Moon, he got really into Andy Kaufman, and Andy Kaufman was incredibly spiritual. Like, he was a huge transcendental meditation guy and just very, 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 very spiritual.
Right.
And honestly, that may have killed him, too, because he refused modern medicine for so long. And a lot of people think he probably, you know, had he, like, you know, gone like
treated,
Peter Sinai and been treated, it probably, you know, or, you know, whatever. But, like, I think, and I've heard him talk about interviews, he's like, that changed him so much because he was so depressed after he did that movie because he kind of, like, lost a sense of self, and then he, like, found himself and he felt like he was, like, awakened to this whole new world. So I find it interesting. So maybe he's in a position to really peer. And I don't know. I feel like his bullshit filter, and like he's seen and probably like experienced more crazy ass bullshit on such a high level that maybe, I don't know. I mean, like, look, I'm just theorizing. I don't know Jim Carrey, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, I find that interview, like, as far as like paranormal stuff, I would throw that in the paranormal basket. You know, like, as far as like cool paranormal and like weird high strange news, I would put Jim Carrey's interview on Fashion Week in there.
I think I heard he's like filming some movie about Robert Anton Wilson or something like that. So I think he got pulled in. I think I heard that somewhere.
Man, see, now wouldn't that be exciting though? Like, if someone like Jim Carrey was like championing Robert Anton Wilson, because like, talk about a guy who I find infinitely fascinating is him. Wow.
Right. So I think maybe if he's playing him or he's in some movie that revolves around him, I think he might have like dipped into that shit, and got into it.
Oh, that would be great. That would be very cool. That would be very cool. Because I feel like there has never been a movie that's done a really good treatment of, like, the esoteric, paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call it, that kind of world, or even the subculture. It's just, I've never seen one that, like, kind of got it right, you know? Like, it would be so cool if someone did.
Well, you know something? It's funny you say that in a sense, because it's like, if there was ever... I have a joke with my friend that the end of the world will come when they run out of movie titles. They're eventually going to run out of them. It's getting closer and closer now. There's already disputes about movies that have the same title, so it's like...
I know.
But to me, it's like, you talk about like all these genre shows and shit. It's like they never... And I'm not pitching you to make a UFO show.
Right.
Now,
no,
dude,
yeah.
I'm observing this from like a pop culture fan perspective, where it's like there's never been any like exploration of all these crazy weird eras and shit of like,
know,
of, you know, like
man.
A madman of ufology would be fucking fascinating and fun.
I mean, like, I one time had lunch with this guy who owned a production company. We were talking about, like, ideas I had, and I pitched some, like, very safe, kind of, like, half-hour comedy shows. And then at the end, I'm like, but there's this one idea I have about, like, 80s ufology and the disinformation. I basically was giving, like, a soft pitch of, like, a sort of, like, not, like, a true story, but kind of, like, a fictional story kind of set in the Project Beta type world. And this guy was like, you lost me.
Oh, God.
He could not have been more. He's like, so there's no aliens. They're not coming to attack. There's no abduction. There ain't no probes. I'm out. And
oh, God,
he was
terrible, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I lost him in 5 minutes. And I actually, like, worked on the pitch, and I had it really down. I was like, this is exactly how I see the show, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no one's going to watch that. I'm like, he's probably right. You know, like, I think you and I would love it, but, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You got
to
have the X-Files vibe to it.
The sad thing is, I feel like the what people want as far as entertainment out of the paranormal or ufology is not what I want to see, unfortunately. So that's why I've struck out so many times when I've tried to, like, pitch these shows and do things that have to do with this topic. I just think it's like, ooh, what I would want to do with this topic is not even close to
I mean, it's like people don't respect it in the sense where it's like you could do like a show about like a madman of ufology where it's like that's just like you know, idiot moron thinking about little green men. It's like, no, it's about scientists and, you know, conflicted astronomers and shit, like debating whether or not they'd go to talk to the guy who saw a little metal alien. It's like this is like a really thought-provoking show.
I think the most doable way to do this treatment, and this is something I feel like I could maybe do, like, if I worked hard enough and, like, just, like, you know, called in all the favorites in the world, which would be, like, to do an independent movie on one of these topics. Because then you would have complete control. You wouldn't have to, like, answer to any studio execs or, you know, people. You would just say, like, this is the movie I'm making. It's not – it's a niche movie about a niche topic, and – here it is, and I feel like maybe you would just have to make it and show people. I don't think you can ever get money to make it. I think you just have to do it yourself, unfortunately. I've tried so many different angles.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I've really tried everything. Everything that I would want to do in this show, or in this topic, I've tried, and unfortunately, I never want
it. Yeah, it's frustrating in a sense.
It is. It kind of is, because I feel like if you could show it to them, then they would go, oh, I do want this. This is so much more interesting than, like, alien abductions or crop circles or, you know, disclosure or anything like that. But I guess –
well, it's funny in a sense because you think that, like, people – like, these people are presumably relatively our age.
Yeah.
And it's like they're the ones who didn't get the – like, I would say on the show in the past, I was like, it's a generational thing. And once – you know, people from my generation start having the, you know, their hands on the powers, control. They'll let this shit go through, but it's like, nah, it's still kind of like a resistance to this stuff. It's like people don't take it seriously.
I am hopeful though, in a way, because I do, you know, like a lot of the people I came up with through, like, you know, the comedy scene, like doing shows and stuff. Now they are starting to run places like Comedy Central. It's really cool. It's like, obviously, it's better for me career wise because, you know, I can get more jobs and have, you know, more doors open to me. But, you know, I feel like our generation is now starting to get into power, and they actually, like, I feel like better comedy is coming out, smarter comedy. It's not, like, so broad and so dumb. It's, like, comedy that has heart. So if the comedy can get more refined and more elevated, why couldn't the topic of the paranormal UFOs? So I feel like there is maybe a chance.
It's getting there.
Now more
than ever.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. But, you know, even then, they have to take, you know, a slant that's more marketable, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where it is aliens and different races of aliens. Like, it's a great show, but it's not the show I would want to do. Like, if I was to do a show about the topic.
No.
So, but I am hopeful. I am hopeful. I think maybe, you know.
Need to be like Jim Carrey. You said before, you're like, I don't want to be huge. You know, I don't want to be able to not go to the grocery store. But, like, once you do, then you get that fuck you money. And you can be like, you know, they're like, that's Steve Berg. He's the star of, you know, Who Tickled My Nana on CBS. And you're like, you know, and you're like,
my Nana.
I've been the star. Yeah, You're the brother-in-law on Tickle My Nana for nine fucking years.
Yeah.
You know, for the next 10 years of your life, you're Randy. You know, but then after that, you never have to fucking work again for, like, the rest of your life. And then you can be like,
sign me up.
I'm making a documentary about Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, dude, I mean, the thing is, if I had that kind of money, I would never even want to, like, if I had that money, I probably would just, what I would do, I always had this dream. If I were to make a lot of money in this business, let's say the dream came true and I made
right.
a bunch of money, yay. Even though that's not my dream. But, like, for the simple fact that I could, like, hop on a plane like J. Allen Hynek or Jacques Vallée in the 70s and go to Brazil and check out a case, like, that's what I would do. That's what I would do with my money is I would become, like, I would buy my way into UFO investigation.
Nice.
So if I heard about, like, something in, like, outside of the countryside of Hong Kong, I would go, all right, I'm getting on a plane, dude, first class. I'm going to have a couple cocktails on the way. When I get off, I'm going to talk to some people.
Yeah,
sounds good.
I'll be in Hong Kong by the morning.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. That sounds like – because Jacques Vallée's, like, life to me is the coolest life. Just jet-setting around the world, like, in the 70s, like, with this cool, like, you know, cloth, like, French hair and, like, designer suits, you know, and, like, just hopping over to Brazil and, like, talking to the locals. I mean, that's so cool.
No, yeah, I get that same envy in a sense from, like, I saw Lauren and Seth Breedlove at the cryptozoology conference in Portland, and the next weekend they were flying down to Kentucky for another Bigfoot conference, and I was like, ah, shit, man, I kind of wish I was traveling around the world, like, going. Around the country, going to different weird crypto conferences and stuff. That's
yeah,
cool.
Talking about stuff. I mean, it really does. Like, I know, like. Oh, it's always like grass is always greener thing, but sometimes I'm like, man, if I could, like, make a real living doing, like, that kind of stuff without really having to grind or, like, put out theories I didn't really believe in and do all that kind of, like, hokey, like, Corey Good type bullshit marketing for my stuff.
Yeah, when I was in Hollywood,
I would love.
Same as our sitcom idea, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't that be so cool, man, to just, like, jet set around and, like, go to paranormal places and, like, talk to people who've experienced things? I mean, what could be better?
Yes and no. I mean, I've thought about that, though, because I've thought about that, and I'm like, yeah, but I want – how – after, like, a year or two of going to Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio,
yeah.
Pennsylvania, like, would I get
yeah.
sick of it? You know what I mean? Where I'm like, all right,
no,
enough,
you're right.
Enough dealing with these people and their crazy stories and shit like that.
Yeah, you just want to talk to some grounded, normal people about, like, the weather and stuff, probably.
Yeah,
you know?
That happened to me, and, yeah, one time in Exeter, like, a long time ago, some guy was, like, talking to me about – he's like, oh, you're part of that UFO conference. I'm like, yeah, I was the MC. And he's like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And all this other stuff. And I was like, what do you do for a living, man? He's like, I drive a truck.
Yeah.
And I was just well, you know, let's talk about that. And he was like, I don't want to
yeah.
talk about that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to talk about this UFO shit, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think when you kind of like, I mean, like when you have, like, I mean, I would call you a professional. I mean, how would you describe your occupation? I mean, you are making a living off the paranormal world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, like...
I describe myself as a professional lunatic. And since you... And I actually described you tonight as that, too. I said a fellow professional lunatic, so...
Yes, you know. I would say I definitely am.
If you're...
I hear you. Like,
if you're
like,
part of the paranormal brotherhood and you're, like, making a living on this, it's like, you're real...
Yeah.
As fucked up as it sounds, as much as we joked about it, it's like... We're kind of like... We're just paying the bills to try and get to the bottom of this shit, man.
Yeah, man, exactly. Like, you know, I'm not – I mean, like, oh, God, it's
– it's not like a full-time gig as far as I am, you know, trying to, like, figure it all out. But at the same time, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you'll – I think you could probably – you're one of those few people, though, I think you could take it as far as you wanted to, though, man. I wish you had a 5-night-a-week show. And I feel like that's something you should aspire to because, man, wouldn't that be cool? But all of America, 5 minutes a week, every week.
Exhausting,
come on,
dude. I tried doing something like that with video. It was exhausting. So, we're still thinking with ideas. Once the season ends, I'm going to assess all the various possibilities.
What if you could be compensated in a way that you're like, all this work is worth it because I'm being not like you need fuck you money,
right?
But like, if you were getting paid like money, like shit, this is pretty real money.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Gosh. Look, yeah. I'm pushing you to take this 5 nights a week. Simply for selfish reasons.
Well, if somebody offered me five nights a week, I would take it. But right now it's right. more about and not even that, like, I was going to say, I don't want to, we joked about this, I don't want to pressure you, but,
yeah.
you know, my ideas are like different kind of concepts and shit. I want to do different shit, you know, things that are
yeah.
different, and not even, you know, like different ideas for a podcast, different ideas for a fucking book, and different ideas for like a TV show or a movie, you know, so I'm
yeah.
going to, when I wrap up season 10, for people who are like, oh, what are you going to do? It's like, I'm going to explore these ideas, man, and try and, like, find the one that's, like, takes all the shit I love about Banal of America and like, put it in a different medium that can, you know, emphasize these strengths and minimize the weaknesses.
So
and
do you
something
think,
awesome.
Do you think kind of like the podcast radio world is you will want to not do that?
I don't anticipate doing, like, a weekly podcast like I'm doing now. No.
Right.
I mean, I may do, like, I could see myself doing one that's, like, completely, like, fucking random in a sense, but
right.
also planned, but you don't know it, if that makes any
right.
sense. Where I'll
no,
be like,
I know what you mean. I know
I'll take, like, 2 years off and be like, it's been all of America, I don't know, what is it, 2020, right?
Yeah.
That's actually the perfect, you know, that would actually be the perfect thing to do. You know, finish up the season at the beginning of 2018, then come back in 2020 and just do BOA 2020 with all the different guests, same 7-Up style, catch up with the different people on the show.
Well, that sounds cool. It's just the 2 years off will be rough for all of us.
Yeah, but that's when I'll work on crazy ideas about, like, movies.
There you go.
And
we'll
books.
Keep on
and
putting
like
stuff
that.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you considered writing a book?
I've considered it often, but at the same time, it's like, to me, it's funny because I've been in this for so long that I've interviewed people that were like bloggers that then came out and wrote books.
Right.
And they're like taken more seriously than me. And it's like, I interviewed them when they hadn't done anything yet, and now they wrote a book, and now they're like doing conferences, and I've been around for longer than they have. What's going on here? You know? So
yeah.
It's very
frustrating.
You, man, sense.
I think if you wrote a book.
Oh no, the whole thing is Robert Schneck hit on it last week on the show. He said I was at this conference and then I got home and all of a sudden I was invited to like 3 or 4 more conferences. You know, it's like
right.
if I write a book then I'll get invited to a conference and then the people want you to
sure.
come to their conferences and it's like to me it's like I'm not really good around people, dude, you know, I just find them
very hard to believe, man. I mean, like, you are
after
so
a few beers, I am like, after a few beers, I am very fucking friendly, but
I met you before you had a few beers and you were super friendly and outgoing.
Yeah, but I wanted to meet you. I'm not talking about like,
yeah.
people. It's like, oh, okay, what's your theory on this thing?
Right. Well, but you know, but like, you don't have to be a theory guy. I don't know, whatever. I'm not trying to pressure you into, you know, doing anything. I'm just saying, like, I don't even think you necessarily have to be, like, super people person-y, you know, if you went to do something
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just being a bitch.
I mean, look, I'm just pressuring you because I think I think me and your, I speak for, you know, your fans, we want more Tim Banal. How do we get to more Tim Banal?
I guess the idea is that once I wrap up this season, dude, I'm going to, like.
You're going to assess.
Yes, and then, like, burst forth with something fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Because
my idea here is, I mean, you're a longtime listener, man. And, like, hopefully I can, like, speak to the core listeners now who are like, what the fuck is going on, man? Like, the idea is, man, like, we can't just keep doing the same show all the time. We need to, like, reinvent ourselves. We need to come up with something new, something different, something that when I did this, it was like no one had fucking even thought about doing this before, like, putting out these shows. You know,
well,
you're a real
podcasting pioneer. Cause, I mean, like,
I hope so. I like to think so. In paranormal world.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, who? Because, like, okay, so you started 10 years ago. I'm trying to think, 2007. I mean, I don't think I started listening to podcasts until like 2008, 2009, probably.
Right. And
like,
the people who have terrestrial radio shows, they were just kind of like figuring out how to put their shows on MP3. My show was originally always and forever will be like fucking on the internet. So.
Yeah, and you made it super accessible, like your iTunes, so it's just idiot-proof.
Just like, download this, click this, yeah.
It's so easy, and that actually that's so important, because if I have to work for something like downloading a podcast, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. That's where it's like, right-click this and then fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll download it and you can listen to it.
Boom. It's in your phone, dude. Go take a hike and listen to Banal of America. Which I find, you know, also, like, I like to go take hikes at Griffith Park, which is kind of like the Central Park of Los Angeles, but it's a beautiful hilly park. And I live really close there, so I go take, like, long walks there and stuff. And I love listening to your show and Greg's show when I'm on these walks.
Nice.
So fun. It's the best way to listen to, like, your podcast. But, you know, all the other world.
I thought you liked to watch it while I thought you liked to listen to it while you were playing a fishing show.
Fishing game. Here's the three ways I listen to your podcast. There's three ways. Well, there's more than three ways, but here's the main three ways. And hiking.
Yes.
Traffic. Traffic, usually I'll do a re-listen of an old episode. I won't do a new episode because I want to really concentrate. Sometimes traffic, I'm in a bad mood. But, or this is my favorite way, is to play video games, mute the TV, and listen to a podcast. That's how I most often. I love playing video games, so
yeah. I did that with Harmontown. Show Harmontown.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's such a great way to do podcasts.
I agree, yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy them, man. Like I said, this...
Yeah.
I mean, the show's not going to, like, fucking end. It's just more like... The shit we've been doing for, like, 10 years has to, like, refresh, man. And I
hear you.
I talked about this a little bit at the end of the show a few weeks ago with the phone cut out and everything, and I cut it off the show because it was, like, too crackly. But it's like we talked about earlier. It's like, you know, the whole show is like we started with Jim Mars, man. You can't – there will never be a season 11.
Yep.
The season premiere is Jim Mars, motherfuckers, and Jim Mars is gone. So there'll never be another season premiere, and so there will never be another season.
Right.
You know, so we have to we have to evolve. We have to change, and we have to move forward and figure out what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, as long as you don't go away from this field, man, because that would be troubling.
No, I just want to produce good shit, man. And
you will, dude. You're a quality guy, and you have good taste. So I think we all, no matter what, I think myself and your fans will follow you to your next endeavor.
Well, thank you, buddy. Now, what did you tape today for with Rob Riggle? Can you tell us?
It was a I do on Fox NFL Sunday morning. They have like a on Fox, you know, they show football, and then they have like a pregame show with like I think Terry Bradshaw and some
you
people.
Were on
I
last
actually
year.
Don't. Yeah, I've done them for the last couple of years. Rob's kind of a buddy of mine. So every once in a while, if, like, you know, timing works out and stuff, I come and do, like, sketches, basically. It's just, like, you know, sketch comedy. So I'll come in and do a character. And this week, I can't tell you what we did, but it was pretty funny. I played, like, a 13-year-old boy. So.
Oh, nice. And you were on with, like, an NFL player?
No, it was me and some kids and Rob Riggle. Sometimes there's NFL players on there, but well, most of the time, I don't even know who they are. I'm not like a huge NFL guy. I used to really love it, and all the concussion stuff kind of soured me on football a little bit.
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to like.
Oh, I feel sorry for those guys.
It feels very archaic. Like it's like we're getting older in a sense, but it's like to me, that's like am I old now? But it's like boxing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that old sport where they kill each other. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's like, even like, you know, I mean, I have some friends who... Actually, not many friends, but a couple of friends who watch UFC. Every once in a while, I'll like...
Yeah.
Come over just to drink some beers and barbecue and watch the fights, and I find myself, like, looking away from the TV, like, half the time. I can't watch, like... They just are brutal.
And they
people.
Punch you something,
I mean, like,
in the face, and they tackle each other, and then they start trying to break their arm. And
it's too squeamish.
Why are you doing that to that guy?
Yeah, I'm kind of a peacenik, dude.
No, exactly. Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, I watch him.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop hurting him.
Ooh, stop,
Jesus, he's gonna tap out any minute now.
Yeah, he's got a kid, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's brutal stuff. It's brutal stuff.
So, do you think? Final question, just to get in your mind
now.
Do you think we'll ever, in your lifetime, do you think we'll ever, like, figure any of this shit out, man?
As far as figuring it out, no.
any of this
but
stuff. UFOs, Bigfoot,
no.
Like, will we hear any anything?
No.
You know, if you think about it,
no.
I was trying to think about it recently. It's like the only thing you ever like really found out was like the Deep Throat was that dude from the FBI in
yeah.
Watergate. That was the only like revelation. Nothing's been solved in my entire fucking life. Nothing has been solved.
Sadly, I think the best that we could, just being a rationalist, I think the best we could hope for would be maybe another layer of the onion to be peeled.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe something else revealed that, you know, compels us to look even further. But, I kind of like what I was saying earlier, I don't know if this is something that is even, like, this sounds so, like, weird to say, but meant to be solved. You know, like, or if it's even, like, real in the way we want it to be real. You know, like, I feel like I want so badly for UFOs and all that stuff to be tangible and real and material. You know, like... But I just, the more and more years I go by, I just think maybe it's not. It's more like kind of like, you know, I mean, there's that quote from Mac Tonies, who I just thought was such a great thinker, you know, rest in peace, that
oh,
guy.
Sure,
but like,
yeah.
He, like, I think it was a quote saying, like, I think this is something, you know, like, or the aliens, whatever, are something made of pure intelligence. And that, to me, is like the greatest sentence I've heard ever. To me, I feel like, yeah, that kind of, like, makes sense to me, just by the way all this phenomenon, like, shows itself or how people experience it. I feel like it just can take the form of anything. I kind of feel like, you know, that UFOs and, you know, all the paranormal, it's all maybe one thing. I mean, you know, like Skinwalker Ranch, for example.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, there
yeah,
was,
I think so.
There was UFOs, there was Bigfoot, there was, like, predator-type creatures, there was werewolves smoking cigarettes, you know, so, like... If we were to take a place like that seriously, then what does that say about all this phenomenon? It says to me that it's all related and maybe
of the
same origin. So to say, like, we'll figure out, like, what UFOs are, to me, I'm like, I don't know if it's even meant to be figured out or, like, it can be figured out or even understand, you know, like, that we're even able, intelligent enough to understand it. You know, like, maybe, you know, maybe it's all happening in front of our eyes, but we just can't perceive it. It's... I don't know. The more and more I look into stuff, and I will always look into this stuff, the crazier and crazier my ideas about it get, the more far out. Like,
right.
I feel like
they can look back at me like the UFO thing, like it really happened, and then all of a sudden they stopped coming here, and then the government took over and started like using it to their advantage. It could be like a two-pronged path of history.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I just got done. I don't know if you're a Twin Peaks fan, but this last season of Twin Peaks dealt with so much of the stuff that we like talking about. It was like so Jacques Balanche. It was so incredible. I feel like it was almost like watching like this season of Twin Peaks was the closest I've had to like a metaphysical experience. I felt like more was revealed to me by watching the show about the esoteric than anything I've read.
Wow.
I know it sounds weird because it's a TV show, but I have this weird theory that David Lynch is, like, in touch with something that maybe no one else is. Like,
wow.
I think he is working on a different level and that he's showing us something, and that if you pay attention, there is some really groundbreaking, interesting things to be discovered. So I would recommend everyone watching the new season of Twin Peaks or watching all the works of David Lynch.
Quite the endorsement,
Yeah, it really goes. I feel like David Lynch goes hand in hand with all the stuff we're talking about.
So where should people go and fucking find you, man? Like, how can you don't have a hub? You don't have steveberg.com?
No, I'm you know, I'm not even like a big social media guy. But I think if you wanted to find me on the
not
socials,
those pictures, the Snapchat thing.
But no, I have like, you know, Instagram and Twitter, Bergmaster5000, and I mean, I have a new TV show. I'm on a new TV show coming out on the BET network in October.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, it was fun. We shot the whole season like a little while ago, but
I'm gonna lose my job for this. Are you the token white guy of the show? Is that was a joke?
The one could say that, yes. It's starring George Lopez, the late and great Charlie Murphy, D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer, and Eddie Griffin. And then
and
I
you.
Play, like,
And me. So,
it's not really politically incorrect for me to say you're the token white guy of the, that's the joke.
I don't take any offense to that. No, not whatsoever. But it's it
sounds awesome, dude. That's a great guy.
Oh,
Jesus.
it was really, 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 really fun. So, yeah, it should be a good show. It comes out October 12th, so you can watch that. And called The Comedy Get Down.
Comedy Get Down.
And then I do a recurring part on a show called The Good Place on NBC. So that's what I've come up in the poll. I played just like one of the like citizens of that little town. I did a couple episodes last year, and I did a handful of episodes this year. And I play like it's hard to explain. I can't actually. I'm not supposed to reveal anything about the plot of this season. So, but anyways, it's a
really
fun show.
You're gonna become
more
of a character, we hope. Yeah.
And that is kind of that's kind of a fun show. It's kind of esoteric in its own way.
Yeah, I'll check it out. If you're a fan, I'm
going
to watch it. And you're going to be on, like you said, the Rob Riggle NFL thing. So people, when they watch the NFL games on Sunday, they'll see you.
They can watch just Sunday. That's it. Yep.
That's awesome, dude. Folks, this is what
there you go.
This is what's going on here, Banal America. High-profile celebrities are listening to the show.
Hey man, there's probably a lot more famous people than me listening to your show. You don't know it.
Stan Friedman's been on a lot of national TV.
Stan Friedman would
be
like,
"Oh yeah, what shows have you been on? Okay, I've been on The View. Fuck off."
But you know how I find podcasts? I mean, seriously, no. You have had really. I mean, I can't think of too many people that I would want to have, have on your show. I mean, you've had everyone on, so I feel like a lot of the way people find podcasts is they look for a celebrity or a personality that they want to hear interviewed. They type search in the little like podcast app.
Yeah, that's how I found Ghost to Ghost. I'm looking for Jim Ross interviews.
I mean, that's essentially how I found your show and Greg's show and the other shows I listen to. Like that is the way I found it. So, when I started, you were like you and Greg's show were the first two podcasts I ever listened to.
Oh man, thanks.
So yeah, bud. Yeah, so I know you're ending with season 10, but let's not stay off the airwave for too long. Otherwise, we'll start giving you
rioting. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah,
it's all part of a greater plan.
And you were gonna get these coordinates for me. You have.
Yes. You and I are gonna that's a post show discussion.
Yeah, I mean, let me pitch. I'm just going to put this around your head. I know.
See, because now this is what I was telling you, folks. See, now he's pitching me ideas. So once Steve is pitching me ideas, then I'll be like, all right, now we can play ball, Steve. What do you want?
Yeah, and
the coordinates of the portal.
Give me the. Isn't that funny? I'm a grown man, and I'm asking another grown man to give me coordinates for a portal.
That's exactly what's happening right now. But,
I am a ridiculous human being.
This is our life.
The sad thing is I'm 100% serious. I'm like, all jokes aside, give me the fucking portal coordinates, dude.
No. To even smash it for Steve, you're married, right? You have a wife and everything like that.
I am. I do.
I'm single. I'm just like, I argue with guys about getting the coordinates for portals. Portals, my life is Rick and Morty, man. It really fucking is. Oh, my God.
It's incredible, dude. It's incredible. I really want to. But all jokes aside, I mean, how do we, I mean, like, Paramania 2019 camping trip to the portal, dude.
If I can get the coordinate, well, we're going to New Orleans for 2018.
Yeah, I think a side trip. Maybe it's a side trip.
We can't bring like 3 dozen people to a portal full of
Ewoks. Imagine if the portal did happen with that group of people. Everyone's like hammered out before the cold.
Yeah,
holy
it opens.
Are you fucking serious? You have Steve Ray and Joshua Cutchin like running towards the portal.
Yeah.
I
just look at you. I'm like, we shouldn't have. Yeah, this is really out of control, man. Someone's going to get hurt by this portal.
Dude, fucking Steve Ray never came back from the portal.
Yeah.
He's just gone, man.
We're an episode of Dateline. They're like, who murdered Steve Ray? There were 12 of them there that night, and one of them killed him because his body was never found. Yeah.
I hope he's listening, so I'm sure he'd be, he'd be flattered.
I'm sure he will. All right, man. Yeah, we have to end the show here. I just love talking to you, man.
You too, buddy.
I told Robert Schneck the same thing last week. We were going to do this again.
Great, please.
Don't worry about
anytime.
The future of the show. I promise, folks. We're gonna
Yeah,
you know,
don't screw me, dude.
We fucking set the bar, man. It's time to raise the fucking standard here around here.
There
you
go.
Everybody else is doing podcasts, and it's like, we've been doing podcasts forever. Fuck this shit. Let's show them how the real shit is done. And that's what's going to happen next.
You're a trailblazer, baby.
I hope so. All right, man. Good night, Steve.
All right, Timmy. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Bye, my man. Later, dog.
Later. There you go, folks. That was Steve Berg. Drunk History on Comedy Central, plus Idiot Sitter, and he's going to be on the NFL pregame show. No news on next week's guest, but I have a few folks in mind, as I teased earlier in the evening. And so, on that note, until next time, this is Tim and all. Thank you for listening.